You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
We're just about to talk to Princess Chelsea, the amazing Princess Chelsea, and she is talking to us from Tamaki Makaurau, because the Independent Music New Zealand and New Zealand Music Commission are hosting the annual Going Global Music Summit of 2025, a two-day summit and festival in Tamaki Makaurau on Thursday the 28th and Friday the 29th of August. There are thought-provoking panels with that fuels 2 days of industry connection and inspiration. It's conversations about artist development by day and unmissable performances by night, covering everything from experimental electronica and punk to soulful hip-hop and pop. This lineup represents a wide spectrum of Aotearoa's contemporary music, including our very own Anthony Tonin and Ivy, no less. The summit, during the day, unites Aotearoa's brightest artists with speakers, festival bookers and tastemakers from across the globe. And sorry, I got interrupted by something. This year, there are keynote speakers from LAB, Nine Lives and Indie Icons, Gareth Shute, and, of course, Princess Chelsea from Little Chief Records, who we are talking to now. Wait a sec, let me just bring you up here, Chelsea. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How's it feel being an indie icon?
Yeah, I think it's nice, isn't it?
It's always interesting when people start busting out icon and legend, and you're like,
It is interesting, yeah, because when I think about it, I've been doing it for quite a long time.
Yeah, you have. You've developed quite a back, like you've got quite a body of work behind you now and been doing really interesting stuff of late as well.
Yes.
I saw pictures from your, I don't have the right correct words for it.
The midwinter ball.
Yes. I saw a lot of pictures of people dressed up in ridiculous costumes, minotaurs and such.
So good. Yeah. I mean, that ball nearly killed me. It shows how good it was.
Yeah. What made you, what inspired you to do something like that? I mean, everyone loves a dress up.
It's kind of like pretty Chelsea-ish. Like the year before, we'd stumbled into doing a Twin Peaks ball. Sort of like, it was like kind of spitballing ideas, and then the gig became that. And then it went so well that people were like, going to do it again? So we did. And then, like, for me, when I spitball ideas, you know how sometimes you like having a drink with your friends, you're like, and what if we did this? And what if we did this?
Yeah.
Like, I kind of do that, but then I actually do it, which is like sometimes problematic for me. Doing it like sword fighters and like 10 fog machines.
Oh, I love a fog machine. You know, my favorite is dry ice, you know, like when it creeps along the floor. Ugh.
Yes. No, I was obsessed with that because it's like fantasy. And I was like, we need to get it just like outside the toilet.
Yeah. It's so hard to do though because it's basically frozen ice and then you have to keep pouring boiling water on it to keep it going. Anyway.
Oh my gosh. That was cool and I'm still recovering.
I understand when you put something massive on, it's like, okay, that was why? And also, yay.
Yeah, both of those feelings.
Exactly. Yes. So have you been a guest in the past at the...
Going Global.
Going Global?
I have actually quite a long time ago, being a seasoned artist. Yes. I think I was a panel speaker. Maybe cool. Like it was... Actually, I know this because it was the last time I had hair extensions. this is how my memory works. I currently have hair extensions.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm guessing that whenever I get them installed, they're like, we definitely need you to be a speaker now because we need to show off your hair.
Yeah, so makes it worth it.
That was like 2017.
Great.
The last time. Yeah. And I think I was speaking from the point of view of a recording artist and like someone who records at home, which is what I have done for the most part in the past. So that was interesting. And I was speaking to people that from York Street Studios and other places sort of talking about the benefits of each style.
Mm. Yeah, because I guess with technology as it is now, there are a lot more bedroom producers, I guess, as they...
Oh, yeah, because it's like you don't need to spend any money. And it can sound just as, you know, depending on what the music is you're making, like, it can sound just as good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a level of intimacy and, you know, that I think that style also garners, because you're in a safe environment. You don't have to reacclimatize yourself to a new space. And so you're probably more prepared to expose some things that you might not in another space necessarily. Yeah.
And you can, like, dig in more, you know, there's no time limit, which can also be a problem.
Yes, one needs a deadline. How did you get roped in this year, and what are you speaking on this year?
Well, this year I'm actually speaking on behalf of Little Chief Records.
Oh, cool.
So I've been working with them for a long time, like since around 2000, and I'm going to say like 8, as a volunteer. And so it's always just been the same crew there.
Cool.
Which is Scott, who founded the label with Jonathan. He lives in Spain. And Jonathan founded the label, but he doesn't like interviews. And
this Gareth is Jonathan Bree we're talking about.
Yeah, Jonathan Bree, yeah. Gareth has been with the label basically since the beginning, helping out. And so we're talking on a panel on Friday at 10 a.m.
Nice.
About the history of the label and how we run it, because particularly in the last few years I've been more involved, and we've been like building the label, so it's now got international distro and team. So
that's so cool.
Really wet, wild journey, actually.
That is, because I mean, I remember when Little Chief started, it was just tiny, teeny tiny, you know?
Yeah, we did CDs and it was run out of the garage at Sandringham Road. Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool. Oh, that's really awesome to speak from two different perspectives in something like this, because, you know, when people think of industry, kind of, they don't always think of this sort of DIY aspect that you've built up. So have you finished writing your speech? Are you doing a speech?
No, I haven't written anything, because I feel like I guess I should think about the history of a label and double check that, but I think it's probably going to be more Q&A, so
yeah, cool.
I prefer to not prepare. Mm-hmm. I mean, the good thing is when you've been doing something for so long, you don't really need to come up with answers. You just say the thing, so that's good.
That's pleasant, but, yeah.
I will say it's really interesting being an artist and working at a label, because I can confidently say that I'm not plugging the label or anything, but... The people at the label are all artists that run it. So
yes, yes.
We definitely come at it from an interesting angle when we're putting out releases. Like, we do care about the artist for the most part.
Yeah.
And when I'm giving people advice on if someone wanted to sign to our label and they're a new band, I remember talking to someone recently, and it was really funny because I put two hats on and take one off. So I'd be like, well, actually, my advice to you would be, it wouldn't be a bad thing to sign, but also if I was you in your position, I might not, but I might. It's like really honest advice. It's quite funny.
Yeah, I can imagine you, like, it's a bit like being a musician and a critic at the same time. They're very different sides of the brain, analytical versus sort of expressive. Yeah. I mean, I imagine that you garner and attract a lot of people that want to be in an environment where you can share and be supported by other artists, though. I mean, it's very useful having a label that understands the process and, like, when things get difficult or whatever.
No, that's true. Like, I mean, the label really started off as a collective of friends that were putting out essentially their own albums, and that's kind of still pretty much that. I mean, it expanded. It's probably putting out the most releases, I'd say, like, in the early, like, sort of 2010s-ish period, which was when I joined the roster, because you had, like, Shaft, Foom, Nudie Suits, Glad Eyes, such a great lineups, the Brunettes, Toki Tones, Ruby Sons, and then we had newer kind of, I would call them second gen, or like sort of newer artists coming on, like me.
Yeah.
But yeah, when my career and Jonathan sort of kind of got both got unexpectedly quite, I'd say, intense, then because two of the people running the label were like having to suddenly focus on their own music, we sort of the label began to sort of quiet down a bit and sort of just be releasing Scott, mine, and Jonathan's music for quite a while. And because that's all we could really handle. And
That's
then,
understandable.
since then, we've kind of regrouped and now we're looking to start labeling outside our family.
Oh,
Like,
that's really
you
cool. So you've expanded your family. You're basically like drag mothers at this point, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. We are. That's cool. Yeah, it's different.
Lily, who works here at the station, is such a massive Jonathan Bree fan, and she was obsessed with him when she was a kid, and didn't realize that he was a New Zealand artist. She just loved him so much and was so excited to find out that he was a New Zealand artist and
Yeah,
loves
it's
your work
interesting.
together as well. Yeah, I like, for me, because of, I guess, coming from Tamaki and knowing him for such a long time, I was like, it was interesting that someone who didn't even have a context for him necessarily just loved the work.
Yeah, well, Jonathan's always like, he's definitely shied away from interviews and stuff, and has been like focusing a lot of his energy touring overseas. So it's interesting because, yeah, I don't think he's had much press or much stuff domestically. So a lot of that wouldn't be uncommon, I think, people not realizing, like new, especially younger people.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, that's, I mean, not, yeah, anyway.
It's kind of flattering and kind of strange.
Exactly. What advice do you give new artists that are entering into the industry now?
I mean, I've always given the advice that you do need to work a lot harder than you think, without wanting to, like, I mean, creatively, you should always just be creative and stuff. But when it comes to, if you decide, oh, I want to try to do something with this, then you do have to be prepared to work quite hard. So I would say be very careful and think about things with every step, because once you put something out, like say, whether it's a video or whatever, a song, you can't, especially in this age of, like, the digital age we've been in for ages, you can't, it's always going to be there. And that's, you have to be comfortable that, I mean, we all will cringe about stuff we did like 10, 15 years ago, but when you're an artist, you're putting it on your name, like you'll probably still cringe 10 years later, but you don't want to really cringe.
Yeah, and you can't bury it in the same way
No,
that there's
that's
stuff that
aggressive.
I don't know what you're talking about in terms of cringing of who I was 20 years ago. It's just, I really don't envy kids for that, like just being able to
To
recall what,
grow privately.
exactly. I mean, yes.
And the
Comedians.
converse of that is, don't freak out too much. Like, you're gonna grow, and you won't always get it 100% right. But
No, and evolution is an important thing to do. And
it
yeah, you can always apologize as a thing.
And then the other thing I'd say is, get, like, have a lawyer if you can. Like, there's for the there's some people that work for free. You can go and see them, I think, if you go to the Music Commission. Or, but if you get given a contract or anything, or someone wants to work for you, I think it's really, and I wish I had known this when I was younger, have a lawyer review anything that you're going to sign. That's just a business advice. And you can, we're lucky here, like you can see someone for free. So, I mean, I could go on and on about advice, but maybe that's my top one.
Yeah, that's really smart though. Like just having a cool head look over things, that's really good at analyzing and breaking things down and know the repercussions of what you're signing up for. That's excellent advice. And which bands are you looking forward to the most in the evenings?
This is really funny for me because I haven't like looked at the complete lineup. I don't really leave the house.
Understandable.
I've always enjoyed Anthony Tonin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see him play. I kind of want to see everyone because there's a lot of stuff I don't actually know.
Yeah.
I think Phoebe Rings are playing, so it was awesome. I think Crystal Chen might be playing as well.
I think I saw their name on the list as well. Yeah, there is it's a fascinating lineup. I'm really stoked that
lots of different types of music, eh?
Yeah, yeah, really diverse, which is fantastic. Yeah, I'm stoked for the Ivy Boys to go up and get a little taste of experience and also performing to people. They're well worth checking out.
I'm going to go check them out if you tell me that sounds good.
You like Jeff Buckley?
Yep.
Yep. There you go. Okay. Done. Okay. All right. It's so lovely talking to you, and good luck and enjoy the summit.
It actually is a good summit to go to because some of these industry things overseas are kind of like, if I'm honest, quite awful. But this one where the people who are putting on the bands, I actually do care about the bands having a good experience. Like places like South by Southwest and stuff, bands notoriously come back and it's an absolute horror story.
Yeah.
So like this is a great way of making similar connections in a much smaller environment where everyone knows each other and actually cares that you have a good time.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much. That sounds great. All right, I'm going to play one of your songs now.
Oh, cool.
It seems obligatory. All right, I'm going to play I Don't Know You. Thank you.
Oh,
bye. Bye.
That was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.